Okay, so first of all, let's start with the Gita's wide appeal. Okay, so the Bhagavad Gita was first translated into English by Charles Winkins in 1785 and published by the British East India Company with an introduction by Lord Warren Hastings, the first British Governor General of India. And he kind of wrote that the writers of the Indian philosophies will survive when the British dominion in India shall long have ceased to exist, and when the sources which it yielded of wealth and power are lost to remembrance. So the Gita deals with human problems in a human way. That is why it is like considered to have a tremendous appeal. It has inspired human mind in India for centuries, and today it casts a spell on millions of people across the various parts of the world. So, among the most great and extraordinary people who have been inspired and found their outlook changed by timeless wisdom of the Gita are thinkers, writers, scientists and philosophers like Mahatma Gandhi, B.G. Tilak, as in Bal Gangadhar Tilak, Sri Aurobindo, Albert Einstein, then Walt Whitman, Henry David Thoreau, and Annie Besant, to name a few. So in India, it was left to Adi Shankara, who lived in the 8th century AD, to reveal the greatness of the Gita to the world. So he retrieved it from the mighty tomes of the epic, the Mahabharata, and wrote a brilliant commentary on it. So it is the commentary which prevails as a classic text even today. Later, greater acharyas like Ramanuja, Madhava, Ballava and others came with their commentaries, which are popular among their followers till date. So, okay, now what is the Gita? Okay, so the Gita, the dictionary meaning of Gita is like a song or a poem containing an inspired doctrine, and the word Bhagavat means blessed or adorable or divine one, okay. So hence, Srimad Bhagavad Gita is variously called as the song of God, the divine song, a song of fortune, the Lord's song, the holy song of God, the song of the Lord, some of the names, you know. And the Bhagavad Gita is like a Hindi, sacred Hindu scripture, considered among the most important texts in the industry, like of history, you know, like literature, philosophy. It's like a very important text. It finds a place in the Bhishma Parva of the Mahabharata and comprises of 18 chapters spread out in like 700 verses. So, its author is Ved Vyasa, the compiler of Mahabharata, who wrote this epic through the hands of Lord of Wisdom, Sri Ganesha. Its teachings are considered timeless, and the exact time of the revelation of the scripture is considered of little spiritual significance. So the teacher of Bhagavad Gita is Lord Krishna, who is revered as the manifestation of God, the Bhagwan, Param Brahma. Okay? So the content of Gita is actually a conversation between Lord Krishna and Arjuna taking place on the battlefield of Kurukshetra before the start of the war between the two clans of brothers, the Kauravas and the Pandavas. And it's like, while responding to Arjuna's confusion and moral dilemma about fighting his own cousins, Krishna explains to Arjuna his duty as a warrior and prince and elaborates on different Vedantic concepts. So this has led to Gita being described as one of the most prasthanatraya, and the other, it's like the triumvirate of the canons of Hindu philosophy. The other two being Upanishads and the Brahma Sutras. It is considered as a concise, practical, self-contained guide to play the game of life. During the discourse, Krishna reveals his identity as the Supreme Being, blessing Arjuna with an awe-inspiring vision of his divine universal form. The Gita itself tells us about what it is. At the end of the first chapter, we find a narration reading as under, Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishasu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastri Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Arjuna Vishada Yogo Nama Prathamo Dhyaya. So it means, thus in the Upanishads of the glorious Bhagavad Gita, the science of the eternal, the scripture of the yoga, the dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna ends the first discourse entitled The Yoga of the Despondency of Arjuna. The narration as given above, like as I explained, at the end of the very first chapter occurs also at the end of all other subsequent chapters, okay? The only difference being the respective titles of the chapters. This narration is called Sankalpavya Vakya, meaning it's an epilogue for the chapter. So it reveals in a very concise form the glory and the greatness of the Gita and states the theme of the concerned chapter. So the meaning of the recital is basically Om Tat Sat, a designation for the absolute enabling everybody to turn towards Godhead. Gita is called Upanishad because it contains the essence of all Upanishads, which are the revelations of ancient sages. Brahma Vidya, or the science of the eternal, because it teaches about the changeless reality behind ever-changing phenomenon world of perceptions, emotions and thoughts. Yoga Shastra, because it is a scripture that explains the technique of right living and provides a practical guide to work it out in the form of Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga and Raja Yoga. Samvad, because it is in the form of a dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, the divine and the human, the former teaching the latter how to function successfully and efficiently in a community. This chapter is titled Arjuna Vishada Yoga, or Yoga of Despondency of Arjuna.